All right, what's going on, everybody? John Duplantier. Did I pronounce that right, John?
Yeah, that was real close. It's actually Duplantier, but I've learned to go ahead and respond to everything under the sun, so it's all good.
I'm sure high school was pretty annoying every time you had a substitute teacher and they had to pronounce your name. We're joined by John here, and we got Paul Martin also from Real Fake Baseball, a bunch of different things that he contributes to. John, really appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thank y'all for having me.
How's the bicep holding up? I know you had a little issue with bicep tendonitis.
Yeah, going real good, you know. The rehab's been a long one being a starter. The throwing progression takes a while, but I got 3 innings on Sunday. I'm excited about that, getting the AZL for rehab start, and hopefully be back to Jackson real soon.
Yeah, because when you're healthy, you're one of the most dominant pitchers in the minor leagues. And I say that, it's true, because you won the 2017 Pipeline Pitcher of the Year. And I know Paul had a question about you winning that award.
Yeah, John, I basically it's great to have you on, by the way.
I appreciate it.
But I just wanted to know, like, what was your thought process after being named Minor League Pitcher of the Year? Because obviously the stock answer for that is felt great. You're super happy. But did you feel any, like, pressure for this season? And, like, how did you work towards alleviating that pressure and preparing for this year, 2018?
So winning the award was – as a minor leaguer, you kind of get – I feel like a lot of minor leaguers get lost, you know. Everybody gets lost in this giant storm of prospect status, all these different guys pitching all the time, playing all the time, hitting all the time. So, I mean, to be named Pipeline Pitcher of the Year – during a season where there were so many guys really that were pitching their tails off, you know, there were a lot of guys who had great years. And I was just fortunate enough to get the recognition that, that I got. But I mean, that was probably the biggest gratification from it, was just knowing that, I mean, we're all competitive, you know, it's hard to do this every day, day in and day out, and not really have competitiveness. So we're all really competitive. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's like, I'm the best. I was the best this year, you know? And it wasn't something – it's not something that, like, I like to throw at people. It's not like, well, hey, man, like, no, this is what I did, because, like, that's in the past now. So getting ready for this year, I prepared – I mean – literally the exact same as prepared going into last year. You know, it's kind of hard to, it's like you don't fix anything that's not broken. So I did the exact same off-season workout plan. I mean, I definitely added some new things, some things that I learned, but I did the same thing. The mentality was going in, it was the same, you know, control what you control, everything that you can't, let it be with the win, you know. So I think that was probably the biggest thing, trying to stay the same, not necessarily change or get bigger than what it is.
Yeah, and like I said before, when you're on the mound, when you're healthy, you're one of the best guys out there on the mound, especially in a minor league state right now where there's so much talent going across the minor leagues. To win that award is a great accomplishment. Let's take it back a little bit. When you went to college in Rice, you went to high school in Texas.
Right.
When you got drafted, where were you on draft day? You remember that?
Yeah, oh yeah. I remember I was on day one, I was at my parents' apartment. They had moved out of Katy down to Houston and were living in an apartment, while they were looking for houses. So I was sitting at their apartment. I had a couple of my really close friends from Rice over. And we watched day one and I wasn't picked on day one. So that was that. And the next day, kind of woke up and, the Diamondbacks called and said, hey, if you're still on the board at our first pick, we're going to take you on at 89. So I was like, sure, cool. I'll be with my parents. We kept it a secret from my mom. So to be honest, me, my mom, and my dad were all laying in my parents' bed in their apartment. Just, we had it hooked up to the TV. And it was, we were just laying on the bed. It was like we were watching Netflix. I mean, hearing your name called and your mom doesn't know it's going to happen. So I knew it was going to happen. So I wasn't necessarily like blown away. It was exciting still, but yeah. My mom heard it. It was like just pure surprise, joy, all that stuff. It was awesome.
before we hopped on, Paul was telling me that your younger brother is committed to play. Where was it, Paul?
So that's actually my cousin. That's my first cousin. Yeah, it's my dad's brother's my dad's brother's son, for oldest son. He's committed to University of Texas.
Good for him. A little Texas Rice rivalry.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You guys are, yeah. Who's the best there?
He's so much more advanced than I was at that age.
Right. Yeah. You started really late, right? You said you started pitching at like 17 or something.
I mean, like really considering myself a pitcher at 17. Yeah, sure.
Crazy.
And I mean, it's hilarious. Because I mean, when like growing up and you always hear, you model yourself after people that you watch all the time, or like little kids growing up, like in our generation, they see the videos of Michael Jordan. And so there's a bunch of kids my age and a little bit older who, when they play basketball, they stick their tongue out. It's like their concentration face, or the little like Kobe Bryant's like Mamba mentality face, you know? So my cousin, he throws exactly like me, which is pretty, it's not normal. I don't necessarily throw normal. And my throw motion is kind of strange, but the throwing motion is actually really similar. So it's been pretty cool. But yeah, I definitely think he has the chance to be a lot better than me.
That was one of the things I noticed when I was looking at video, the throwing motion, how you pretty much extend all the way back with your throwing hands. And I was reading something, and somebody was saying that the ball's not exposed to righties as much, but to lefties it might show a little bit more. You feel like that or no?
100%. It's kind of one of those things. I mean, it's one of those things that I've thought about cleaning up and trying to hide it from left-handed hitters, and shoot, right-handed hitters at times too. I'm sure they can see it, depending on how far I get back there. But it's one of those things that I've decided to I've thought about changing and trying to fix and get a little bit more in line. But it's like one of those things, like, don't fix anything that ain't broken, you know? So we're kind of it's one of those things that if it ever becomes an issue, I have no doubt in my mind I can address that, you know?
Yeah.
But as of right now, I'm gonna let it ride. I'm gonna just let it ride and figure out how to stay healthy in these mechanics.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to me a little bit about the minor league grind. I don't know if you saw the picture that went viral about the minor league player's paycheck. You caught that or no?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? You saw it, Paul?
No, I did not see that either.
Yeah, it was going viral. I think it was on like Deadspin or something. I don't remember the exact amount of money it was, but it was something pretty small. But talk to me more about the grind being a minor league pitcher. Like, I know you guys go from bus to bus and travel and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gets better. It gets better the higher up you get. The hotels get a little bit nicer. Travel gets, no, it never gets better. I mean, it hasn't yet, at least, you know. I mean, even in AAA, from the guys I've talked to, the flying is actually worse than the bus. So, you know, it's early mornings, late nights. The food situation's tough, nutrition's tough. Obviously everybody hears about the pay. It's rough, you know. But you know, I mean, I personally love it. I love it. It's bitter, because like during the off season, when you're at home and say you're in a living situation where you can live and you know where you're going to be, you have your schedule. I mean, like right now here, I have a kitchen. I know I can wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go downstairs, cook my breakfast. I know what I'm going to cook for breakfast. I know I'm going to hop in the car, go to workout, be back for lunch, and I'm going to eat here, and I can control everything.
Yeah.
Half of the year, though, when you're at an affiliate, on the road, you can't control really anything. You're eating out. I mean, last year in Visalia on the road, I ate Denny's 8 times one time in the span of 3 days. you know? And yeah. And the crazy part is, like, I had to pitch in those 3 days. So yeah. that was what I was fueling my body with. So it's definitely tough, but I mean, a lot of us actually love it. I really enjoy it. I find joy in it. It's not necessarily too much of a grind when you're enjoying it. So,
well, for you, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Not for everybody, but for you, there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. I know Paul had a couple of questions regarding you pitching. Paul, we got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that kind of just sounds like college anyway. I mean, you maybe don't enjoy college as much, but I mean, there's good moments there. I wanted to get your take on the big changes within Major League Baseball, at least. A lot of people are throwing their curveballs a lot more. They're breaking pitches. Mm-hmm. And I saw an interview that you did a while back, and you said your curveball is your favorite pitch. Does that still ring true? And, like, what are you doing? Are you changing anything like all these other pitchers are? Are you kind of just, like you said, staying the same, but have you always kind of thrown your curveball a lot more? You rely on the breakers a lot more? Or?
I'm going to have to amend that statement. I'm going to recant that and amend it real quick. Right. My favorite pitch that I throw is the pitch that gets the guy out. You know what I mean?
Okay,
I don't
curveball a little bit more back then.
Well, so in college, it was definitely the curveball. I only threw two pitches. I threw a sinker and a curveball. So, right. And then when I got into pro ball, obviously the go to was the curveball. It's always mm-hmm. been the when everything's feeling good, my arm's feeling good, my stuff is normal. When I'm feeling normal, the curveball is the most just subconscious. Like, all right. Grip, rip, go. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. Yeah. So it's kind of like it can be a safety net for me at times. But I mean, to be honest, like if I had my way, I would want to throw more fastballs, majority fastballs, get guys out early in the count, keep it on the ground. I'm definitely not opposed to striking people out. I'm definitely not opposed to, you know, the double digit punchy games, but, I would much rather go 7, 8, 9 innings, under 100 pitches, just nothing but ground balls, keep the ball in the infield. You know, it's I think it's more fun for the infield.
You got to keep them awake, keep them involved.
You know, they get to make diving plays, and we get to slap hands and hug it out, you know. So we have cool handshakes and stuff like that when cool stuff happens. You don't get to handshake anybody when you strike everybody out. They kind of just look at you like,
yourself.
All right, when can we play? Yeah, it's selfish.
it's selfish play.
Ground ball, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, strikeouts, what was the quote, strikeouts are fascist?
Is it? I don't know, but I'm going to use it.
I think it's like strikeouts are fascist, you know, and ground balls, letting them put in the play, that's socialism right there. That's keeping everybody involved. my coach used to say that.
That's funny. Give the credit to him. Are you a baseball junkie? You watch baseball every night?
I don't. I do watch it when it's on. I love going to games. I like learning. I love baseball. I like watching it. Yeah. I usually take – well, I say the reason I don't watch it all the time is because, like, at my apartment in Jackson, when I'm in Tennessee, I don't have a TV or internet. So, man. I just – I read books or
you're not even playing meditate. Fortnite? No Fortnite?
Nah, I didn't even bring my PlayStation, man. I'm telling you, like I meditate or listen to a book or something. It's real zen at the apartment. And then at the field they'll have a MLB network on or the games on, so we'll watch when the D-backs are playing, we'll watch any games that are on, before and after games. So when I was out there it was the NBA finals. So we're watching that. Yeah. But
how do you feel about coming out of the bullpen? Because that might be a possibility at some point, huh?
It's fun. I mean, so my personality.
If you were healthy right now,
yeah,
you might be coming out of the bullpen by the end of the year, no?
So my surface personality is starter. I'm a fairly laid back. I'm like in between laid back and amped up all the time. I'm pretty laid back, and then I get like bursts of energy, and I get excited. Yeah. That's the football in me from high school come out. Uh-huh. But in the bullpen, the football, I feel like the football would just be sitting there on edge, like just waiting to come out. So I feel like it'd be fun. I did it my first year at Rice for the first 2/3 of the season, and I liked it fine. I had no issue with it. And then my second to last appearance at Rice, I came out of the bullpen in conference championship in the conference tournament, and they were like, "Hey, go get hot." I threw five warm-up pitches. I was like, "I'm ready." Coach was like, "What?" I was like, "I'm ready." Went in there and did my thing. I liked it. I feel like I can adapt, and that's something they want me to do. Right now, like, for sure, sign me up, man. Like, let's go play ball with some ball.
I'm not talking long term. I'm talking postseason run. You know.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. For sure, sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah, the game's going with guys going 2-3 innings. Brewers just called up Corbin Burnes. He's pitching out of the back end of the bullpen now.
Oh, really? Like that. Awesome. So, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah,
good
for him. So that's the way the game's going.
Yeah. No, I'm not opposed. I'd enjoy it. I mean, that's what happened with Archie. You know, Bradley. And I mean, he's excelling in the role. I mean, it's obviously been an extended role, and it's kind of turned into his thing. But I mean, yeah. I got no issue starting that.
Yeah. What about the trade rumors? How's that affecting you?
To be honest, I've gotten pretty good at accepting things that I can control and can't control. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of just take everything in. Like, I don't shy away from anything.
Yeah.
I should have deleted Twitter and like stopped checking things and looking at stuff and listening to like the MLB updates and at bat updates and all that stuff. I mean, I saw them. I saw that the Machado trade rumors and all that stuff. Yeah. And, because I'm here in rehab and I have a lot of time on my hands and my days are really long and I'm not out there like trying to figure out how to get guys out right now. I've had a lot of time to think about it. So, but like during the season, it would have been pretty easy for me to kind of just like shed that aside because I mean it's not important. It doesn't help me get guys out. So it was just kind of fun to think about and talk to some of the Latin guys. They'd love to have fun with that.
So I'm sure Machado's gonna have a great time over there in Los Angeles.
But oh yeah.
Luckily for the Diamondbacks, they kept you, Paul. What else you got for John?
Well, you said you meditate. Is that something you meditated on, those trade rumors, trying to get over that? Or
oh, for sure, man. Yeah. I mean, I was big on patience, meditating on patience this season so far. It's easy with the trade rumors if you wanted to start saying, like, when's it going to happen, trying to get answers. It's like, nah, just wait. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Either it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, and both are something happening. So. Just wait on it, man. Like, take a couple deep breaths and just keep moving. Like, if they trade me, then I pack up, I go meet some new guys, and I do the same thing I've been doing for the last 2 years. You know,
right?
Just in some different colors and different towns. It doesn't really matter to me. But if they don't trade me, I get to stay, keep my friends. You know, hang out with my boys, and go get guys out with them. It's all the same either way.
Who are some of your boys? Like, who are some? I mean, we all play fantasy. I don't know if you do. Obviously,
yeah.
You're owned in our leagues. There's no doubt about that. You know, but who are some guys like within your system that you would say are underrated? Like, who you have your eye on?
Yeah, definitely. My buddies right off the top of my head. We have a reliever. He's in high right now. We got two relievers actually are shoving. One reliever that got drafted with me, he's been doing it since the jump, since we got drafted. His name's Tommy Eveld. He was a low A all-star with me last year, and then he was a high A all-star this year. Back of the bullpen type of guy. Tall, lanky. He was a quarterback in college. Didn't start playing. I think this is year three of baseball or four. I think year four of baseball since like he was 15 years old, and he's 24 now. So he's disgusting. I mean, I've seen him up to 97, 98. I've seen him up his slider up to 93. And he's a great dude. One of the best guys in the organization by far. One of my best friends. And then, man, who else? So Tommy right off the top. And then on the hitting side, he hasn't really done much yet. But, I mean, and he's not to blame for this. I mean, he's hurt right now. Anthony Greer is one of my – it's my other best friend in the world. And I'm not trying to put pressure out there or say he's going to do great things, but I'm not going to be surprised when he does because Anthony, one of the reasons I like hanging with him or hanging with him so much is he is one of the he's one of those rare people that genuinely loves to learn and likes to talk about things and understand things and he's a discoverer. I mean, when I got down here, he beat me down here to rehab, but he was talking about using his hips more and hitting and throwing, and he was asking somebody about how important the hips were, and when he asked, they said, "Oh man, it's so important," and they started talking about hitting and like how it helped in hitting. This fool went and started reading journals on the internet, like scientific journals on potential energy. Okay. That's where his pursuit took him, like potential energy.
Yeah,
I'm talking like
physics of hitting,
like the basics of physics, and just so he can learn about his hips and how to use them. You know, he takes everything to the kind of the extreme like that, which is awesome. But like not too far. He doesn't like think in at bats. Like I've thrown at bats against him in IBPs and scrimmages and stuff, and he doesn't like overthink things. He just thinks a lot when it doesn't necessarily matter when he's trying to learn. It's right. It's the awesome.
Preparation.
Yeah.
Is what he thinks about and cares about.
Yeah, the process it's unbelievable because not many people are like that, you know, at all. Not many people are like that at all. So it's kind of cool to see.
I'm sure a lot of sabermetrician guys like Brian Kenny would be happy to hear that.
About yeah, for sure.
And look at the physics of it. Let me get away from baseball for a minute. And when me and Paul were talking before you logged on, I read an interview. I think you did an interview on Instagram, and someone asked you about your favorite music artist or what kind of music you listen to. You said you're a big J. Cole guy.
Yeah.
When I told Paul that, Paul wasn't too happy to hear that. So I want to hear you guys talk about why J. Cole is or is not the best rapper out there right now.
Oh, snap. Come on, Paul.
Well, he asked you first, so then I get the rebuttal.
No, but I have to see where you stand. You know where I stand. I got to see where your stance is. Like, who do you think is?
He's your number one rapper?
I mean... What? Who's my number one rapper?
No.
I mean, who's better?
Is J. Cole your number one rapper?
Yeah, J. Cole is, is he?
Over Drake.
Yeah, okay. Way over Drake. Yeah, he's way over Drake. Hey, no, listen, hold on. I got, so you got to hear me out. Drake is a great performer. Drake makes good music. Drake does. I like Drake's stuff. But I feel like just as an overall, 100%, just in their lane, what they do, I don't know what Drake does. Drake does too much for me. Drake will show up with a Bahamian or Jamaican accent, and it confuses me. J. Cole does not. J. Cole is J. Cole. Drake he is Jermaine.
And the English accent, you know, you never really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank no, you. I'm but not, J. Cole I'm not is Jermaine.
In this fight, no. I'm more of like a, we'll say like Kendrick or, I mean, that's how I kind of split it. J. Cole to me, they're both kind of preachy, but
yeah.
J. Cole just maybe doesn't do it to the level of creativity that Kendrick does. So I get a little upset. It's just my own, like my bar is very high sometimes, I feel. And it's not very high because I do listen to like Lil Yachty sometimes. And I do like to, you know, just throw a
song
here or there. But
yeah.
As far as like when someone shows me that potential, like Friday Night Lights or like the warm up or like when we're
it's
taking
not J. Cole anymore. Friday Night Lights, J. Cole.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I get upset, and that's what pulls me out of it.
Friday Night Lights, J. Cole was one of the best. That was probably one of the
best
of all time. Yeah,
that's a great argument. And to be honest, I agree. Like, I think Kendrick is cold. Kendrick is this generation's Lil Wayne.
Yeah, he's like a full.
Nah, he ain't better than Weezy. Weezy is the GOAT of all time.
No, no, man, no, yeah. Definitely not.
I'm gonna send you a video. On Twitter of Weezy rhyming. He's like, "What rhymes with suicide?" And he rhymes every bar, every word in that bar. It's a long rap. Every word rhymes. It's unbelievable. I'm still amazed. It's unbelievable.
Papoose did that, and nobody said that was like the.
Hey, it was cold. That's cold too. Papoose is cold. Don't get me wrong, but Weezy is the greatest. No, J. Cole is my favorite though.
You're a Texas guy.
Yeah.
A lot of that rap, like a lot of the
Dog
and all that stuff.
I listen to it. I listen to it a lot. Like my walkout before I came down here was This Is the Way We Roll by Lil Flip.
Mm-hmm.
So when I find a chance, I'll definitely throw in like stunt that I'm from Houston. I listen to a lot of like there's a Houston Hip Hop Essentials playlist on Apple Music that like when I'm working out to, or if I'm riding, or when somebody's like, "Well, Houston rap, who's a Houston rapper?" I'm like, "Bro, you know Paul Walsh from Houston? Bang it and Sit Sideways, Grills, Scarface. All that." I mean, yeah, Scarface goes. I mean, UGK, they get it all. You know.
Even Travis Scott, you could even pull in the new guys.
You could bring in the new guys. Travis Scott, and everybody's like, "Oh, Chamillionaire's." Like, I mean, yeah, but like, real Chamillionaire. Chamillionaire's tight, but everybody only knows Riding Dirty.
Yeah,
you know, so you gotta show them. I'm True, like the song True. Yeah, mixing everything. So, Bun B, he was actually my professor for a semester at Rice. You know, Yeah, he's a professor at Rice.
I think I remember hearing that, actually. That's dope, though, that he was your professor.
Yeah, it's a hard class, man.
Yeah. Oh, really? What class was it?
Hip-hop and religion.
Oh, word.
Yeah. That's was cool. Interesting.
That's really dope. You a Rockets fan?
I am.
How big of a Rockets fan?
I'm not so big a Rockets fan that, like, I'm going to games every chance I get. Yeah. But I'm a big enough Rockets fan that like I'm a root for them no matter who's playing.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like if James Harden left, everybody left and we sucked, I'm gonna still go for them, you know. I was an Astros fan when we were rebuilding, so I stuck with it.
Cuz my boy Daniel Mengden, who was on the podcast last week, he came out to New York, we met up. And he's a huge Rockets fan, and that was
he's diehard.
Yeah,
Daniel's diehard. That's my dog
from the Texas.
Yeah, that's my dog.
Yeah. So it was before the Warriors series. So we were chopping it up, whatever. And I'm like, "Yo, Rockets in seven. I'll hit you up after the series." And then they fucking lost the Warriors, like everyone else does.
Man,
like, yo, this guy must be dying right now.
Man, I know he was hurting so bad.
Yeah. That's funny.
The worst nightmare I think Daniel Mayden could have had was CP3 going down.
Yeah, that changed the series.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
That changed the whole series. Everything changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? It changed the landscape of the NBA pretty much.
I mean, essentially. I mean,
it's they now, win. Warriors, they so win, and whatever. Then the Cavs beat them. Yeah, you never know if LeBron stays.
Right.
So
he probably doesn't, though. He probably doesn't.
He doesn't owe them anything. So that's a whole nother podcast. That for a long time. He doesn't know Cleveland shit. But before we wrap it up, I see you got the fishing hat on. Your big fishing hat.
Yeah, I got into it. Also due to Tommy. I got into fishing in college. But Tommy Evild, he's a big fisher. So when we were together in Lowe, we spent the whole year last year together. So every chance we got, we were taking poles on the road and trying to rip as many lifts as we could. So. Yeah. I like to fish. My Bass Pro hats now just kind of turned more into a fashion statement, to be honest. I started wearing Bass Pro hats with Fear of God, and I got Bass Pro hat with my Wakanda Killmonger jersey on. So it's like,
that's dope.
Any chance I get, I'm rocking this Bass Pro hat.
Yeah, that's dope. But you obviously saw Black Panther. You think that was the best Marvel movie?
Nah. I mean, it was great. I really enjoyed it. I think it was needed. But the best Marvel movie, shoot, man. Like,
I'm Marvel's not gonna put that pressure on you. There's too many.
Marvel's, yeah, I can't do it. Marvel's killing it. I'll watch any Marvel movie, to be honest. I don't think Black Panther was the best one, though.
It's definitely up there. It's up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's dope.
Oh, yeah. It was solid. I watched it twice in like a week.
Yeah, it was definitely a dope movie. Mm-hmm. You got anything left before we sign off here?
Nah, I mean, I feel like we have at least three other podcasts that we could do after this one. Like, we might as well just have him back on for a whole musical discussion.
Well, he's got all that time on his hands.
B class.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Before I say, J. Cole makes music for guys like me. I have to listen to the lyrics like three times, and then I'm gonna look at them in depth, and like I'm be googling references and thinking about what's going to
tell. You're a rap genius looking up the lyrics.
That's me.
I mean, I'll look up the lyrics and like get into depth and see the double entendres, triple entendres that he's rocking with. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go through that process, and once I do, it's like.
Are you a Spotify guy?
Apple Music. Apple. I like Spotify. I think Spotify is sick. It confuses me.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. I'm a Spotify. I like a personal Spotify DJ.
But, oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
don't give him the aux cord. Don't give him the aux cord.
But yeah, no, I'm an aux cord legend. Don't trip.
That's mad funny. All right, John. Yo, appreciate you joining us, bro. Really.
Hey, appreciate y'all.
Best of luck with everything.
Hey, thank you.
I have a feeling you'll be up sooner than later. Everybody go follow John on Twitter. Follow me at Mike the Rotocop. Follow Paul at Paul the Martian. See you later, John.
No. All right, there you go.
Wait, it's not Paul the Martian?
It's Paul the Martin.
Paul the Martin.
If it's Paul the Martian, you're telling a whole bunch of people to follow a flat earth personality right now. No joke.
That's
you can go look him up. But he's
follow
there.
Paul the Martian too. Paul the Martian and Paul the Martian. All right, John. Peace.
All right, later.
Peace.